Okay, now we're going to go to last week's show. I always did it better. Remember, I always did it better last week? Oh, yeah. Well, nevertheless.
Sorry, because when I pointed out, hey, not only did I not quit on air, not only was I able to speak out, but I was able to have my job for an entire year after that, continuing to speak out. And that completely shows, hey, if this is a Kremlin mouthpiece, why was I able to have the main opinion show on primetime television on RT for an entire year after that happened?
Because, as I was saying, Malalai Yousafzai was given the Pulitzer Prize, and you didn't say word one about your fellow journalist who's murdered by the FSB, obviously, by the Kremlin. Now, when the Kremlin blew up Moscow, the fifth apartment building didn't blow up. That was in Ryazan, okay? It was Hexagen, the same that the KGB, or the FS, let's call it the Federal Security Bureau, and Pirates of the Potomac cooperate in waging over the, let's say, Caspian oil. So this goes back 1,000 years. Now, the first czar is piggybacking on Caesar, okay? Rome. Now, Europe couldn't count after Roman rule. It wasn't until we were invaded by Islamic Arabs. So how wonderful that we are going to go wage war on this, you know, Arabic script, basically. Of course, if you can't count, then you can't represent the infinite, so you can go out, murder, rape, and pillage, and propelled by your fear of death. But, okay, she's human. She's not going to say the FSB murdered Anna Politkovskaya for talking about the fifth bomb, Alexander Litvinenko, in similar fashion, who wants to be buried in Chechnya. Oh, yeah, so this is where it all comes together. False flag. Now, EMS, Boston EMS had the 2000, it was like a couple of years before the Boston bombing, or several years before, a planned mass casualty event. So that's exactly what went down in FEMA. So Sirota, Bill William Sirota is not William, I think it's Richard, because I remember he's a dick, so yeah. Richard Sirota, probably, not William, never mind. In FEMA, in Boston, at the bombing, and remember, there were all the dogs sniffing, bomb-sniffing dogs, so you got all these bomb-sniffing dogs, and the bombs go off, you're telling everybody, okay, this is going to be a drill, and then at the JFK Library, on tax day, at the home state of the CIA's two most famous victims, there is that. Now, Graham Fuller, I just said CIA, and guess what? The CIA station chief in Ankara is married to the mother of the wife of the uncle, Ruslan Tsarnaev. Remember Tsokar and Tamerlane? Well, Tamerlane was snuffed right off the bat. There's video of him being handcuffed, naked, being put in the SUV, and then supposedly they're saying, oh, his brother ran over him. No excuse to shoot anybody who's handcuffed and naked. Okay, Anna Politkovskaya. Now, let's say, give her the benefit of the doubt, she's not going to ask somebody who's already gotten shot in the head by the scumbucket, skanky Yankee gringo pirates of the Potomac are paying to throw acid in women's faces because we like cheap Arab oil. Now, I happen to know that Gordon Getty has business partnership with this. Now, you don't have to believe this guy because it was John Paul. It was Scrooge McDuck, not Gordon the son of Zion. Now, Zionism is really S-C-I-O-N. And William Cooper did a great takedown of that. Of course, it's got the protocols, blah, blah, blah. Now, the czar is foisting this on the people who originally had thou shalt, you know, not trade their soul for riches and all that. So if you're going to be a bankster, you got to foist the bogus version, but never mind. Sod monster, they learned Anglo-style genocide in the Saudi Arabia movie when Peter O'Toole is singing, take no prisoners, it doesn't mean let the women and children go. So these death squads, Bedouin culture and all, but really desperate rape and pillage. And the connection with Israel has to be seen through the view of the Mosaic law that rings like a bell when a hippie vegetarian reads, take the life of no living thing. You know, don't disrespect love, the sacred gift. Don't trade your soul for riches. Don't bear false witness of the law and use it against another. That all makes perfect sense. But, of course, don't covet possessions, you know. Don't trade your soul for riches, you know. That says no banksterism. 5,000 years. As we were moving the, I better not talk about that, because too many crazy people. But anyway, Hammurabi, I was telling a rabbi that... my friend had a dent bumper, and he was joking around saying, look what you did to my cow. And I said, ah, but if you got your cow, your ox back with a hole, then I owe you nothing. But if the cow, the ox lost a horn, then I owe you one quarter of the value. And if the ox lost an eye, then I owe the owner one third of the value. But there's nothing owed if you get everything back. So there's no usury, which is banned by Catholics and Jews and on both sides of the causers, you know. Maybe we can call them, well, this is where Scythians are, and that's actually the Russian
maybe I didn't do it better next last week.
Because they're not the Huns.
But this was MLK Day week, so let me go back to the Sugar Mountain Punk
they're
Party.
They're not the Mongols.
Once
they were ruled.
Time,
and it's just kind of about how I like singing with crazy fuckers. And you can just like make up your own words. I don't care. I like the sound of your voices. I'm feeling under-sweated when you look me in the eye. fighting, clapping, not producing. You think I'm preaching to the choir, but I am not. I'm singing with the choir. We are all birds of a different feather. We each sing the way we sing. We are all in this together. You think I'm preaching to the choir, but I am not. I'm singing with the choir. We are all birds of a different feather. We each sing the way we sing. We are all in this together.
Hold on your hats again. I think I solved the puzzle for Haiti. Eric Braverman set up this IHRC, which is the funding mechanism that USAID went through to fund Haiti after the earthquake in January of 2010. He later went to the Clinton Foundation after he left being a consultant at McKinsey, and then went to the press in 2015 in March saying, follow the money. And I started the series really following oil and arms, which led me to a lot of things in Syria and Libya, which you can see the earlier versions. But this, I've recently started going down through the USAID missing $7 billion in Haiti. And that's taken me into this world of Haiti. So if you haven't seen the story before, this is Monica Peterson. She disappeared. She was an investigator in human trafficking. She was looking at these sex shops, these sweatshops that then kind of turned into sex shops. And she was looking at these cell phone providers that provide these microloans, but they're usurious rates at like 195%, which forces these women into prostitution and having their kids work all day, forcing their kids into prostitution, sometimes selling their kids to child traffickers. Sometimes also giving a kidney to pay interest, like was done in India with this guy, Yunus. So the same person who set up the microfinancing in India is working with Carlos Slim to set up, and Dennis O'Brien of Digicel to set up the microfinancing in Haiti. It gets worse than just kidneys. So anyway, Monica Peterson, I'll show you her words. She did a thesis of about 100 pages, which I got a little bit of a blurb of. But here's what she's saying to her friend. Here's what I found out. There's USAID constructed this mine out here in Mombasa, a gold mine. She says it's not far over here to Caracol Park, where there was an industrial park that was built. This is just simple connect the dots. I talked, well, over here at Labadi. Is a place for cruise ships, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines. And over here on the way to Caracol, this is Port Haitien. These two maps should be together. There's a university here called University of Henri Christophe, the King Henry Christophe, okay, which may have been the first king of Haiti, I'm not sure. But she says there's a real significance to this scandal for me, you know, Bella, contemporary slavery and trafficking. I can't say to what extent, but there's human trafficking happening here through Clinton's Caracol, which is here. So that's in her words. That was about a year ago. So she did a lot of investigation up until November, and then she supposedly died of suicide by hanging, which her parents dispute. So that leaves us to me talking with Azili Danto yesterday on the phone for about an hour, and she's the leading human rights advocate for Haiti. She was born in Haiti, but then came to the United States and trained as a lawyer. So she's very adept and speaks Creole, French, English very well. She laughed at my French. No, she said I spoke French fine. But she just outlined for me some of the – I said I want to follow the money. I want to follow the USAID money because if you saw my previous slides all the way through this, USAID can't really fund unless they have a funding mechanism like a World Bank or something to write a proposal. This is Eric Braverman writing these proposals. Well, first of all, I'll cover this. If you go back to the Clintons in Arkansas, what they did is they had a bank, like the a fund, like the World Bank, where they did Iran-Contra, drugs for arms trafficking. And what would happen is they would take that money that would come in, it was $100 million a month, and it would fill up at $100 million, and at the end of the month, they would clear the account to zero. And that you don't, if there's a loophole in the donation laws that if there's less than zero or less than $5,000 in an account, you don't have to report on it. So they'd clear it right at the end before the reporting period to zero. Well, you're going to find in Haiti, they do the same thing, only it's not a month, it's in a day. So it's going to go up to $100 million in a day. They're going to clear it, $100 million in a day, clear it, $100 million in a day. And I believe they clear all the funds for that first $6 billion in 2 months. This shuts the IHRC funding mechanism shuts down after this hospital gets built that I'll talk about in the next slide. So they needed to keep this open for USAID money to build the roads in here, to build the water pipeline, the electrical grid, the industrial park, the university, the port for the Royal Caribbean, probably the hotel, etc. And then when that was done, they shut the IHRC down, just like Clinton Global Initiative shut down now. Once the funding mechanism serves its purpose, you shut it down. So anyway, here's kind of, again, L'Abadie de Port to Cap Haïtien, which is Cape Haiti here, which is only about 21 miles. And then the distance from Cap Haïtien to Caracol is, well, I don't have it here, but it's, I think it's about 50 kilometers, maybe less. Okay? So in talking with Azili yesterday, oh, by the way, I don't take money on this channel, and I don't advertise, but I do think if you want to help Haiti, Azili Danto is the real deal in Haiti. So please, if you want to give money to anybody, give it either to Azili Danto here if you want to help Haiti, or give it to Judicial Watch if you want to help the investigation. But she outlined for me, you know, the cruise line that went in up here near the Citadel, which is kind of a tourist thing if you ever go to Haiti. It's near Sans Souci, which means carefree, en français. So anyway, there's the gold mine here, which I think is a fraud. You could see on that map on the picture before, it looks like just a graveyard more than anything. And then the World Bank, as I mentioned in the previous slide, put in this electrical grid, put in these roads, put in this 1,000 beds near this industrial park in Caracol. That's the area I was talking about. Now, what's interesting is all that development, plus the university, and this is the port structure called Port Lafitte, real close. So there's a huge concentration in northern Haiti with all this USAID money. But the epicenter of the earthquake, you can see down here, was in this dark area, was in Port-au-Prince. This is also the most populated area, like 4 or 5 million people or so. The only thing that really went in down there was this five-star hotel, Digicel Hotel. This is right here. This is where Dennis O'Brien's company, and he's famous for these micro-loan sharking loans on his cell phones, his Digicel phones. And many people say all you see in there is not visitors, tourists, but it's Digicel people. So that's the first thing. And I thought I'd put in who the Treasury Secretary was during this USAID funds through the Treasury Department, and that was Timothy Geithner. And the president of the World Bank was Bob Zoellick. Bob Zoellick goes all the way back to 1981 with Bill Clinton sending rice from Arkansas to Haiti. That's how long that relationship's been going. So
when there was the Marine Memorial Theater event on the, Stephen Jones showed us the seismographs from the Haiti earthquake, and everybody knows what a Richter scale looks like. Everybody knows what a sine wave looks like. When you got 3.0 sine wave shocks all around the area, loosen up the tectonic plate, then boom, you just, you know, crack it right. You know, it's like cutting glass. You know, and there's one little tap, and with the Navy around the corner with their fingers in the air, exactly like the Oakland bombing when the FBI tried to take out the Earth First Movement with military means.
So again, this is the repeating theme with the Clintons. It's the same cast of characters. Well, with Bill anyway, they go back always 30 years. So, and then finally, I'll say that they built this hospital here in record time at Mirabalais. They built it in 18 months. As they opened up IHRC to get the money through World Bank, $100 million a day, I'm guessing. And then, and I don't know how many days that works out to, 3 months, 4 months. And then as soon as this hospital is built, they are going to shut this down. Oh, the university is going to be built here in 2012. So somewhere in between there. Plus, they dig a deep water port here in Port Liberté. I'm talking a huge port for an oil container and container ships and oil transshipment points, as well as what they call a Panamax port, which is where you can have ships large enough to go through the canal. So this is a trade free zone, the Panama Canal. This is a trade free zone. So this is where I said they're drilling oil up here. They wouldn't be putting in oil tanker ships ports and container ship ports if they weren't. So anyway, you're gonna see near the Citadel over here is gonna be more of a tourist area, Lotabee, where the cruise ships are, and I'll focus in on that in a second. So now I'm gonna get to the peacekeepers. The UN sends 5,000 peacekeepers. Oops, keepers. Sorry about that. To near Mirabalais, around the hospital, which is funny because this is the safest place and it's one of the most remote places, 25 miles away from Port-au-Prince. Well, why? You don't understand why all the peacekeepers out here, where there's really nobody to fight each other. Well, the reason is you're going to find that they built this hospital right here, and with all the modern, all the best equipment. I watched all the videos, great equipment. And they have a helipad on the hospital. And you wonder, well, why do they have a helipad? Well, could you get to remote regions? I get that. But I think it's a different situation. And the reason why I say this is because in Syria right now, they're harvesting organs. And I just read a whole bunch of articles about the harvesting that's going on with in Turkey across the border when they're taking these victims across the border and harvesting their organs. So, and I'm not talking about just the kidneys. I'm talking about the heart, and pancreas, and not pancreas, but liver and the transferable organs. So here's what I believe. The first victim of Haiti had no cholera in its history ever, never. And then recently after the earthquake, all of a sudden a cholera, and there's been about 2,000 victims, right? Well, the first victim is right here by the UN peacekeepers in Mirabalais. And I'm going to say right now that cholera is a cover for organ harvesting. And what's happening is they're flying either the helicopter up to this airport at Cape Haïtien, flying it up here, or they're taking the plane up there, and then they're driving it over to the university hospital. There's a medical school up there. And the people who are coming in on these tour boats are getting a tour of the hospital over there. It's the showcase. It's the showroom. So this is the back of the garage. Sorry to put in terms like this. This is the junkyard where we're getting the parts, and then we're putting the junk, flying up to the parts depot up here, and then in the showroom were showing how advanced the stuff is. Now, the other thing is, I think they're also renting this hospital space out to people and trying to get them to stay here and have, let's say, a doctor has 10 transplants, 10 heart transplants lined up to bring in there, and the peacekeepers go get the kids, just like the white helmets are doing in Syria, just like the blue helmets did in Kosovo. They're probably going to have orange helmets or some other kind of helmets here. But that's what these peacekeepers have done time and time and time again. So I'm just following patterns. Like I say, it's 80% fact and about 20% working theory. But here's where the population is. Here's where all the fouled water was. Here's the people without electricity and so forth. These folks are pretty much self-sufficient out here. They're not even close to each other. There's not a water source that could be contaminated. Now, they say it's the UN peacekeepers that contaminated the water. 5,000 people living, you know, drinking bottled water. So I don't know. Anyway, it just seems the collar cover seems very odd. So if I was in Haiti, I would be looking in this area for... Or this is only a 25-mile drive, so, you know, they could be taken from anywhere in Haiti. Okay, so why do I say that, you know, this sort of thing can happen? Well, we know Jeff Epstein has a DynCorp helicopter. I believe you're going to see a DynCorp helicopter going from that Mirabalais hospital to Henri, Hôpital Henri. Again, 40 kids in the one case in Florida, 102 Jane Does in the other case. So we know that sexploitation's not off the table. We know that sarin gas attacks are not off the table. We know that kidney transplants for micro loan shark is not off the table. So, and we know that gang rape by police forces is not off the table for DynCorp. Okay? So at what point... You know, here's the guy, Chris Hill, who oversaw the whole operation, USAID operation in Kosovo, you know, running the school where these kids are missing. And here's Claude Destre, who's the one who is not publishing Monica Peterson's last 100-page thesis report. So if he publishes that and then they say... here's the JTTF program, and yes, you're right, we are trying to infiltrate the CIA, then I'll accept his apology. So again, it's going to be DynCorp again. DynCorp in Kosovo, DynCorp in Afghanistan, DynCorp pretty much everywhere with the trafficking. So I think it's just one logical extension. Now here I'm going to make a quick... a viewer sent in this map. And it's called an entity map or whatever, but basically mapping out the Clinton Global Initiative and saying, okay, here's Hillary and the people she's compared to, and then Bill and so forth. And these maps are great. And I think the way to look at this, people ask me about CGI, is the old Clinton Foundation goes all the way back to Arkansas with Lindsay, Bruce Lindsay and Doug Band with Bill. And then CGI really was Hillary and Chelsea. So I think you have to look at it like the old Clinton Foundation versus the new CGI. And these are where you're going to get the Bravermans and Browns. They upgraded. Their idea was we're going to upgrade to Ivy League at every point along the way. So the way I would do this slide is I would put CF over here. I'd put Bill, CF, and then the countries over here. Then I'd put Hillary, Chelsea over here, CGI, and then the countries. So if, for instance, Hillary down to Haiti, then Haiti to USAID, then USAID would go to... DynCorp, and then you could go to the amount, which is the $50 million. But eventually, if you go through this process of kind of functional decomposition, we used to call it in programming, if you go through this process, you're going to add up all these numbers, and you'll come up, this is a $50 million a year contract that DynCorp has to police in Haiti. You'll add it up, and you'll come up with the missing $7.1 billion. Okay? So I'll end there because I'm going along, and I'll send out another one later today.
My head. makes me feel glad that I'm not dead. Put your tie, kimura, wora, nika, wora, nika, henne, henne, noa. Put your tie, kimura, wora, nika, henne, henne, noa.
Shipley Brewer and Shipley Wichita. Well, just think Wichita Toe. Toe being the name for water, like Dina Vito.
Welcome to the Tuesday, January 3rd, 2017 episode of Mouse Report. Breaking the law as always. 104.1 FM. Not so illegal at berkeleyliberationradio.info, where you can get us from TuneIn and Streama. Uncle Scam is doing. And I'm going to read to you from Global Research. The U.S. Embassy warned of terror attacks on New Year's Eve and recommended that American citizens in Turkey not celebrate the New Year's in crowded places. Astonishingly, a lone gunman nevertheless was able to take a taxi to a location near the upscale nightclub, which is across the street from a police station. He then walked into the club, pulled an assault rifle from his bag, and launched an assault that killed or wounded over 100 people, largely Turks and tourists from other Muslim countries. Immediately after the attack, Turkey's Radio and Television Supreme Council, RTUK, announced a gag order submitting reporting of the attack to state censorship. A massive manhunt is still underway across Turkey to locate the shooter. Well, this was a day after. Not sure where that all is happening. Anti-terrorism experts who looked at the footage of the security cameras at the nightclub said that the shooter seemed well-trained and efficient in the use of his assault rifle and shot wounded victims in the head execution style. He cleaned his weapon and changed his clothes, spending 13 minutes in the nightclub's kitchen, and later escaped the scene by hailing a taxi across the street from the police station. So let me go back to False Flag Weekly News for December 30th.
Miraculously, what appears to have been a NATO, perhaps Zionist, but certainly NATO-based overthrow, and this Fethullah Gulen that they blamed is a NATO puppet. He's a CIA.
Point from my perspective is the almost daily blog that Kevin Barrett puts out.
Well, tremendously
prolific. Yeah.
Well, how about the coups this year? There were a lot of various kinds of coups, but the two biggies were the coup attempt in Turkey, where Erdogan survived quite miraculously what appears to have been a NATO, perhaps Zionist, but certainly NATO-based overthrow. And this Fethullah Gulen that they blamed is a NATO puppet. He's a CIA friend who lives in Pennsylvania, USA. So that changed things, didn't it? When Erdogan survived that, he's now going to cozy up to Russia, and NATO lost another big one.
Yeah, this coup in Turkey has led to the dismissing or silencing of tens of thousands of professors, of many judges. There's been a particularly harsh assault on Kurds and their political organization in parliament. So was this coup actually real, or was it a sort of pseudo-engineered coup used to justify the kind of crackdown that we're not now seeing in Turkey?
Well, I think it was primarily a real coup, but it certainly has been used that way. I think Erdogan's probably happy not only that he just barely survived, which I think is the case, but also that he's now able to consolidate his grip on power by getting rid of this fifth column in his midst.
Excuse me, Kevin Barrett. I didn't go back 2 weeks to listen to you. I want to hear myself. But I can just go back yesterday. MLK Day, I believe. Fresh mouth shit. Jackson Brown and everyone. Back to. Oh, not you, Kevin.
No.
I want to hear me.
I recommend that rat.
Oh, sorry, Webster. You're not me.
Oh, we already heard you.
There I am.
Okay, well, no, and I wanted to cruise through the world crisis again.
Rather than rush to judgment. It would be important to focus on the track record of different players in this complicated universe.
The circle of the contract. So, with just a few.
Oh, there. Cooks. Lucas, I think, had the bruises on his body, but.
Not a professional hit against him.
Oh, Seth Rich had
very,
the bruises on
very
the body. Don't know.
Controversial election year for Hillary. Who knows if he was working on a new book about her.
So the theme in going back to Hellback Clinton, when we already got this sick fart joke Trump, is that, of course, he had her at his wedding, and so... the throwing it to the Republicans, you know, the umpteenth Jim Crow coup served to take her off the hot plate. And of course, she leads straight to Poppy Bush. He was even publicly saying he was going to vote for her.
And on the subject of that Jim Crow coup, we bring you the My Lai Blues. No, not every man. William Joseph Kelly. Stop. Audio one, please. Not even. Okay, audio six. Give me Christmas. Where did my life blues go? God damn it, I don't want to hear any hippie goddamn music. I want a war song I used to play. A spinoff on Needle and the Damage Done, same kind of chords, D minor, and you hammer on the left index finger. Bang, bang, bang. Never mind.
And I think she said, that fascist will having us all swinging from nooses. Well, he might do that in order to distance himself from those crimes. The murder of 450,000 in Syria being only most recent and notorious.
You have that the very next day, you have Sean Lucas,
Seth Rich, Sean Lucas, but the assassination of the 450,000 is part of a murder conspiracy that is in violation of U.S. law, conspiracy to murder internationally protected persons, Title 18, Section 1116, 1117. 1117 says conspiracy to violate 1116 is a violation of 1117. Blah, blah, blah.
Who's the most well known for walking into the DNC on July 1st and serving the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz with a nationwide class action lawsuit for fraud in rigging the primary against Bernie?
Hi, Becca.
Becca, how are you doing?
I'm just with the DNC upstairs.
With the DNC?
Yes.
All right. Well, this is going to be a service to the DNC.
Okay.
And this is for Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Perfect.
You guys have been served.
Okay.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in court.
That was probably the most gratifying thing I've ever done.
You ever been able to deliver the document?
Yeah, they wouldn't give us any of the head honchos, which I kind of had a feeling wasn't going to happen. But we did make contact with somebody from the Democratic National Committee's office. And they've been served. Democracy has prevailed today.
Exactly. And you guys all were witness to it.
Which, if anything, is a message. Not only do they want to defeat that lawsuit, but they want to discourage other people from doing so.
Apparently his girlfriend found his body on his bathroom floor. They've not released a cause of death in this. Rumors have been floating around that he died in his sleep. Was he sleeping on the bathroom floor? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So right there, August 1st and August 2nd, you have two dead people, two dead anti-Clinton people in 2 days. And the mainstream press isn't saying a word. If you go to Google News and type in Victor Thorne's name or Sean Lucas's name, you're going to find one, maybe two stories about each guy in the room floor. I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
Oh, I was just reading here. It says, also read, Hillary Clinton murdered John F. Kennedy Jr. I am JFK opens Pandora's box of conspiracy theories. The activist was known to many distressed Democrats as the young man who served, you can't quite see what website the CCC video channel is. Clinton body count plus 5 in just 6 weeks. Back to. No, you said that lets me jump in and talk about the surreal omniscience of the MSM acceptance of the cloak and daggers. They did our inside job.
So right there, August 1st and August 2nd, you have two dead people, two dead anti-Clinton people in 2 days. And the mainstream press isn't saying a word. If you go to Google News and type in Victor Thorne's name or Sean Lucas's name, you're going to find one, maybe two stories about each guy in the alternative media. You're not going to see a word of this, not even in local news reports.
There's also Joe Montano, who is the top aide to Tim Kaine, who, of course, is now the vice presidential candidate, but who was, right before Debbie Wasserman Schultz, chairman of the DNC. And when did Joe Montano die? Supposedly of a heart attack? July 25th, the day that the DNC convention started, and right after the WikiLeaks dump came out exposing all of the DNC corruption. What did Joe Montano know? But that isn't the only one. There's, of course, Seth Rich, who is a member of the DNC National Committee. He was a staffer. He had written some voter sign-up apps to help people find their voting precincts. And from what's been said about him, he may have had direct access to the entire nation's database of voters and quite possibly had firsthand knowledge of voter fraud. He was rumored to testify. I don't think that's been confirmed. But the fact of the matter is, he was gunned down at 4:19 in the morning, only a few weeks ago, July 10th, 2 weeks ahead of the Democratic National Committee.
These tragedies tear at our soul. And so do the incidents that don't even dominate the headlines. Just this past Sunday, a young man, Seth Rich, who worked for the Democratic National Committee to expand voting rights, was shot and killed in his neighborhood in Washington. He was just 27 years old. Surely we can agree that weapons of war have no place on the streets of America.
And they suggested it was like a botched robbery, but they didn't take his wallet, they didn't take his expensive watch, they didn't take his cell phone. His body was covered in bruises, and even just a few days ago, August 1st, police officially have said there's no updates in the murder. They have no idea why. He was just randomly gunned down in the streets. Well, you know, D.C. is a very violent place. Was he going to testify? Did he have information? Well, Assange has hinted strongly that it could have been a DNC staffer who leaked the WikiLeaks stuff that surrounded the controversy of the convention, showed the corruption of Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and it's possible that was Seth Rich. Wasserman Schultz admitted that she did know him personally and said nice things, you know, on the surface when he had died. And there are some very serious questions surrounding that for obvious reasons.
But that's not all, because just a few weeks before that, you have former United Nations official John Ash dying while lifting weights. Initially, the United Nations reported that he died of a heart attack, but then local police actually came out and said, no, his windpipe was crushed. His throat was crushed when a barbell fell on it, which they said was an accident, and that he did it to himself while working out, which, interestingly enough, just so happens to mirror the plot of a Columbo episode from the 70s called An Exercise in Fatality, where a murderer drops a barbell on a guy.
What did you say? You said that he was here?
He was the Democratic governor that sent backup for the Central American death squads when the Republican Duke Majan in California knew better.
To work out.
And makes it look like a weightlifting accident.
Because that's how ridiculous it is.
It's so ridiculous. And it just so happens that Ash was set to testify in a huge bribery scandal that, you guessed it, would have led right back to the Clintons and the DNC. Apparently Ash and a Chinese businessman, whose name I'm not going to say because I'll probably just butcher the crap out of it, were accused of smuggling $4.5 million into the United States and lying about what it was going to be for. And the Chinese businessman is identified in a 1998 Senate document as the source of hundreds of thousands of dollars illegally being funneled through an Arkansas restaurant to the DNC during the Clinton administration. It turned into a huge scandal when all of this came out, because it turned out that the businessman was favored with more than 10 visits to the White House, including an elevator ride with Hillary Clinton. And all of these people have come out to say that this trial would have been very embarrassing. So John Ash's death, and you can see him here shaking hands with Hillary, is very, very convenient to the Hillary campaign. He winds up with a barbell crushing his windpipe. It's almost like a mafia movie. If it was in a mafia movie, wouldn't that send a message to any other snitches who might talk, a guy having his windpipe crushed?
And keep in mind all these dots that officially, I'm sure they're going to say, are not connected, has been since Hillary was cleared by the FBI, not prosecuted for the email scandal, since Bernie was forced out of the race, and there's been a lot of dirty, dirty stuff going on with that. And how many more people are going to have to drop dead for her to get her hands around the door to the Oval Office and into power? How many more people are going to mysteriously die from absurd and ridiculous causes of death that just don't add up? I mean, use your common sense. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to see that people die around Clinton corruption scandals.
So that's 5 dead people in 6 weeks. How many more people have to die so the country can be forced to pretend to elect Hillary Clinton?
Well, let's go to the one I just interrupted. Well, it's the beginning, so let me go to this other one. Well, okay, this will go into more detail while I get the other one queued up. Knock, knock. YouTube. Hama Abedin there. Anthony Weiner's ex, the child sexter, immune from FBI investigation because of your assassination campaign, synonymous with America, founded the year after UK abolished slave trade.
It's over. Huma Abedin just flipped. What she did has Florida. Regated says, image surfaces of Humabedin crying on the plane as Clinton campaign finds out the FBI has reopened the email investigation. Now she's nowhere to be found. Trump Street Team Florida says, Humabedin is not on the plane with Hillary Clinton today. She must be freaking out, especially since she signed this document. This was on October 29th, 8:30 p.m. Hillary is throwing her top aide under the bus. Gabrielli De Medenti says, no sign of Humabedin on Clinton's campaign plane as we fly to Florida. By the way, she was on board to and from Iowa yesterday. So Humabedin's immunity deal is now finished. By withholding evidence during her FBI interview that she had a home computer and then lying that she only printed them at the State Department.
Her history and Alani connections are mostly known to the American people.
It's up to you, except that there is a number one source of violence on my planet, and of course, I have gone there, and I spent a couple decades there, under the government camera, so I know what you can and can't do, and you can drag him into court and win, as I did on the first Hiroshima Day after we blew ourselves up. In fact, January of 2000, I won the parking ticket. Same month Abe died, and I was at Four Corners at the time because, that was 2001. Let me think. When was I in Four Corners? Oh, it was...
Bad DJ, but back to Abe. Why do you have a... stone for my friend Peter Richard the Lionhearted, Abe would call him, asked, because he brought flowers out after Brian was run over and said his heart was with us. The commander tried to pass off a bogus explanation for the November 1987 murder of the second in command, but I just shook my head and said the timing, and he gave a grudging nod. That was a spinoff on Abe, but...
Oh, it was Mother's Day. And then I heard... I guess... Let me try to figure that out. Oh, February, that's right. It was... I took a month off, and there was going to be the confiscation of sheep. And then there was a... I had several trips, and they're all together there in one file. So there was Julia Butterfly... I interviewed her on, was that Berkeley Liberation Radio? Yeah, that's all post-99. Now, before 99, we were free Radio Berkeley. In all cases, it was 104.1 FM. And more recently, berkeleyliberationradio.info. But, so there was my...
But you can show up at the first and third Thursday at the Long Haul, as we've been doing for a couple decades at least, 7:30, and kick down $20 for a month of two-hour week shows, and all
that last line
for everyone.
Has his own ticket in his hand,
and it worked out much
better. As the evening descends, I sit thinking about every man. Seems like I've always been looking for some other place to get it together. Where with a few of my friends I could give up the race and maybe find something better. But all my fine dreams, well thought out schemes to gain the motherland, have all eventually come down to waiting for every man. Waiting here for every man.
waiting for a general neutral audio. So here we go with watching the Hawks. Oh, kill that ad quick.
Here we go.
Whew, close call. Now, if I was really sick, I'd be hitting the pause, but I'm not. Oh, well. What do you expect from micro quality mouse report? Now, back to more mouse shit. Oh, they're not talking. Recovering Bolshevik radio. We realize only by appealing to power higher than ourselves can we overcome our disability and be happy hippies, and happy hippies don't kill people. But we're sure paying for it. And I don't hear anything. So bumpity a bump up in the little roundity round go round thing. Okay.
Drivers from liability.
Shut up, mouse.
If they unintentionally injured or killed a pedestrian obstructing traffic on a public road or highway. Yes, you heard that right. If passed, protesters would have about the same amount of rights as roadkill. Imagine.
If you want to know what's going on in your city, in your streets, never back down like Tyrell. Then the truth is what you seek to analyze, investigate from the bottom to the top. You speak your mind like Sean Stone, whether they like it or not. I got Tabitha, Miss Wallace.
Well, I handed your dad, Jim Wilcox, JFK assassination, a CIA insider's view, as everybody heard. From that Rose School. And, listen when they talk. And why did he leave it out of the secret history?
Welcome, everybody, to Watching the Hawks. I am Tyrell. Tyrell Ventura.
And I am Tabitha Wallace.
Tabitha Wallace.
Yeah.
MLK Day celebrating First Amendment icon like Martin Luther King couldn't have had the civil rights, you know, protests, couldn't have had all of that. And what happens?
If it weren't for... I know, it's this idea that everybody has, like, what is shutting down a highway or a bridge ever done? Oh, I don't know. Civil rights?
You know, little things like that.
It's very strange. Well, it's not. It's not all that strange. When you look at it, what it is. It's this, you know, it's these North Dakota, which they're trying to say, oh, it's because people were so upset.
They were so really very upset. Look. Let me tell you about upset. Representative Keith Kempetch, he was at a Bowman, North Dakota, Republican, told the Bismarck Tribune that it's shifting the burden of proof, his bill, is shifting the burden of proof from the motor vehicle driver to the pedestrian. They're not there for the for protesters, meaning the roads. They're intentionally putting themselves in danger. So Keith wants to shift the entire idea of how the state does business in terms of, like, you know, right now, at least in the United States, I'm sure it is for most parts around the world, that the driver of the car is always generally liable if you hit a pedestrian. You're in a two-ton vehicle, generally.
Right.
You need to be aware of pedestrians.
Some responsibility.
Have a responsibility. Pedestrian not has responsibility.
And I'm sorry, this
Keith's bill would flip that script. Yeah, go ahead.
It's very true. It's that thing about saying that, you know, well, they're on the road. It's not there for protesters. Actually, it is. Our taxpayer dollars pay for those roads. And I am allowed as a taxpayer to use those roads.
Yes, you are.
Also for my First Amendment. I'm sorry that you might be a little delayed, but there are these little things called civil rights and people's lives that are at stake. So,
well, that's,
you know,
the thing I always laugh about when you see whether it's Black Lives Matter or the no dabble protest, you know, the water protectors out there. They're like interrupting how the government or the city or your daily life with the protest is the point of protest.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not interrupting the normal course of action, then no one would pay attention to the protest. No one would care. It's when it steps on a highway, when it makes you late to work, that suddenly you have to say, like, oh, that's an inconvenience. Well, why am I inconvenienced? Oh, because these people are losing their rights.
Right.
Well, maybe if I actually prevent them from losing their rights and join with the protesters, then I won't be inconvenienced anymore. Right. I mean, that's the very, like, you know, white version of looking at things, you know, sadly.
But you know, that is sort of the thing. That's sort of how that goes around. And when you look at, not just in North Dakota, in Washington State, Senator Doug Erickson, a Republican from Ferndale, Washington, stated he's going to introduce a bill that for the upcoming legislative session that would allow felony prosecution of protesters who purposely break the law to disrupt economic activity, for example, by blocking traffic or sitting on a railroad track or going into malls. And, yeah. Oh, gosh, you stopped economic. You stopped capitalism for 5 minutes. The horror.
Yeah. But hey, remember, money is free speech. So sorry, we can't interrupt free speech that way.
It's known as the Coca-Cola of growers. Nearly 44,000 farms in the U.S. use between 6 and 10 million pounds of chlorpyrifos. It's an organophosphate pesticide used each year on the food we eat. In fact, it's used on half of all apples and broccoli sold in the United States, and it might actually be causing neurological damage in children. A 2014 UC Davis study of children in the farm communities of Northern California found that mothers who lived less than 1 mile from fields treated with organophosphate pesticides during pregnancy were about 60% more likely to have autism than children whose mothers did not live close to treated fields.
And, of course, there was that mercury given to newborns with, you know, they changed the protocol not to give mercury to newborns. But as far as organophosphates, the government was spraying the water with this shit and, dyeing it purple, so the water source of my hometown was purple, and the folks were putting it in trees, and I was bidding on contracts to go pick those cones, and reading the box, it said atropine was the antidote for the metacystox, which was organophosphate, like sarin. So you see these in these bogus Chemattack videos, our death squads are giving 13 shots of deadly nightshade atropine to the children, and this, you know, the kidnapped Alawite children from Latakia are being pointed to by drone bomber and the Clinton death squad's media, MSM. So I just want to mention that the reason that deadly nightshade would be an antidote is that it kicks on your parasympathetic nervous system. That is, I mean, excuse me, it switches it onto the sympathetic nervous system. Belladonna, you may recall, is what deadly nightshade is called because it dilates the pupils, and she's not really interested in you, which is what would make you think she was beautiful. But she took some atropine, actually, to dilate her pupils, or maybe to antidote the organophosphate sarin that you're given, the Turkey and Saudi Arabia and Qatar are given our assassination campaign to blame on the socialists, where I would have been a doctor. I did not have $20 to send in with my medical school application with 98th percentile in the science section. So let me just run this down while we're on the subject. So once upon a time, there was an auction, and it dripped down, and it hit the bark on the downhill side, right? You know, you understand oxen is going to drip down, it will cause a growth spurt. So if you take the TCDD, tetrachlorodibenzodioxin, that's from phenoxyacetic herbicide, which you have a benzene ring with an alcohol, OH, okay, that's phenol. So acetic acid is two carbons, you know, and it's got an OOH, double bonded, and somewhere in there, but so that's phenoxyacetic acid. You get two of them, and the oxygens go top and bottom, and you've got two benzene rings with oxygen bonded. That's called dioxin. TCDD, tetrachlorodibenzodioxin, can kill you with a single molecule or cause a mutation or cancer. Okay, it's like plutonium, the most deadly substance on the planet, particularly this particular configuration, of which I forgot the four number. So anyway, the that's the herbicides. But see, the pesticides is this organophosphate thing, which has a cholinesterase inhibitor, Now, the organophosphate cholinesterase inhibitor kicks on your parasympathetic nervous system, which slows you down. You vegetate to death. It slows your heart rate and breathing to zero, which means time's up. So the antidote would be to kick on your sympathetic nervous system. You know, your the parasites up the Potomac are using their leech enforcement, medical leeches and all for, EpiPen, you got to pay like zillions for this natural chemical epinephrine in your body. Man didn't invent it. You know, adrenaline's in your body. Didn't invent it. But you can take ephedra out there. You know, natives use it for tea because it's an analog for your sympathetic nervous system, like deadly nightshade, atropine. They all kick on your fight or flight, which contradicts the organophosphate message, which was slow down and die. So that's the pesticide. That's the pesticide thing of this story. Organophosphates are, the antidote is atropine, which kicks on your sympathetic nervous system. Now back to watching the Hawks.
Fields. In the same year, the first comprehensive study of environmental causes and risk factors for autism and developmental delay found that the application of the agricultural pesticide chlorpyrifos greatly increases the risks of autism when children are exposed in utero. And this last fall, the EPA issued a profound report claiming very serious dangers associated with the use of chlorpyrifos.
Oh, but about the dangers of the mercury vaccinations, I just would always say, to explain me, just say mercury, because I was being a spaz in third grade, and the principal drove me home, and my dad said he'd knock my head off if I didn't stop it. Well, when my head felt like sawdust, I would roll my eyes around and, you know, be a spaz until I could see. When you're contemplating the varieties of existence and then you don't know which way is up and you're supposed to come back, like the teacher says, you know, you're trying to look to the front of the room, but when you don't know which way is up, how do you do that? Well, your body responds by these gyrations, so you can feel the edge of your iris against your pupil and you know what your visual context is supposed to be. Okay, my eyes are pointing forward. You know, it's like they're not going straight up into my skull, so I should see some light. And the light that I see is going to, there's this pattern that reinforces. How do you get here from, there where there is no up? There's no direction here. So that's why I was a spaz, because mercury. Okay, end of that part.
The National Institute of Environment. Mental health studies even warn that use of the pesticides on food consumed by humans were increasing children's risk of developmental behavior, cognitive, and social disorders, and contributing to the rise in cases of autism and ADHD. So why would farmers continue to use this pesticide when the risks are so great to children? Well, probably because Dow Chemical, the patent owner and world's biggest manufacturer of chlorpyrifos, doesn't want to admit what modern science keeps concluding again and again, that their cheap, effective ant killer is actually toxic, foul, highly dangerous product that causes children to suffer irreparable harm.
Man, I...
Allegedly.
Allegedly, but how come every time it's always the giant?
So,
corporation dragging its feet. Why can't someone sitting at the board of Dow Chemical I know this is a long shot because it's Dow Chemical, but why wouldn't someone sitting at the
Everybody I talk to is ready to be with a light.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't make the thing that gets people.
They've seen the end coming down long enough to believe that they've heard their last warning. Standing alone, each has his own ticket in his hand.
give them the answers. Lead them back to that place in the warmth of the sun, where sweet childhood still dances. You'll come along and hold out that strong but gentle father's hand. Just another dreamer, dreaming about every man.